doing there. So, John chapter 15, if you would stand with me this morning in honor of reading God's Word. I know we've read this passage a few times now, and we'll read this morning just the first three verses. John 15, 1 through 3, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Father, thank you so much for your word. I thank you for its promises. Lord, I thank you for its truths. Lord, sometimes some of it's hard to take in, but we need it. It's good for us. Be with us this morning, Father, as we continue to look through abiding in Christ and what that means in the Christian life. I pray, Father, that you would just put your Holy Spirit's anointing upon this place, upon this pulpit, Father, upon your messenger. Lord, I just pray that you would move and work in a great and mighty way. Be with our young people downstairs. Lord, just bless them. Father, I pray that you would just break up the fallow, the hard ground of our hearts. Lord, prepare the soil of our heart, Father, to receive the word which you've given. Lord, we love you. We praise you in your name. Amen. You may be seated. We've had a few messages now around abiding in Christ in this series, and just a mini refresher, if you will. But God's purpose for all believers is that we would bear fruit. That we would bear fruit. That's the very theme of John chapter 15. Bearing fruit as a child of God. You see, God is pleased when we as His children do that, isn't He? Whether it be seeing souls saved, as we talked about last week, or whether it be seeing the fruit of the Spirit coming forth from our lives. When God sees His children obeying and bearing fruit, it pleases Him. Why? Because we're serving. We're being obedient. We're doing as He has instructed. You see, God wants us to live a productive Christian life. Many of us have favorite fruits, and if we had the kiddos in here, I might ask some of those things, but whether it be apples or grapes or watermelon or pineapple, whatever the case might be, and in our world today, it's fairly easy to get those. Now, I know, you know, if you go to a certain region of the country, they're fresher and they're better, but if you wanted an apple right now, you could go to the grocery store and you would have an abundant selection of different varieties of apples, and you could choose them, and you could pay for them, and you could take them home, and you could enjoy them. It's a fairly easy process for us to obtain those things. Now, we know, and we understand that the process in which that fruit gets from the tree or the vine or whatever case it might be, the whole way to the supermarket and then to our home, it's a process. It doesn't just magically appear there. You know, if you have children or you've had children, sometimes, you know, they'll open the cupboards and say, well, where is, right? They just think it just magically appears, right? You say, well, we're out of peanut butter. Just, you know, there you go. There it is, right? We know that's not the process in which the fruit comes to the supermarket. The same it is with the Christian life. You see, there's a process in order for the fruit to come. There's a process in which those things happen. It doesn't just appear in our life magically because we're saved. You see, the Christian life, the point of salvation, is just the beginning of the process. But it's only the beginning, the birthplace of our salvation. According to the Bible, we must be willing to endure the rigors of growth as a child of God. We are to grow as a branch is attached to the vine. Now, who's the vine? You're supposed to respond. All right. Who's the vine? Jesus. He says, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. I know I threw you off. I understand. We'll go slower. All right. But if we're going to grow, we need the water of the Word of God. Last week, we talked about Psalm 1:3. And we saw how God's Word said that a tree planted by the rivers of water, that life brings forth much fruit. If your life, however, your Christian life, that is not planted by the river of the Word of God, you're not going to bear fruit as God intends. If you're not planted in a church, and I don't just mean Sunday morning service, I mean planted in a church that's full of the Word of God, you're not going to bear fruit as God intends. If you're not planted in His Word day by day in an abiding, growing relationship, you're not going to bear fruit as God intends. You need to be someone who is spiritually receptive, open to the Word of God, open to the Holy Spirit's moving in your life. In John 15, and I prayed it just a few moments ago, we need to have, our heart needs to have good ground. It needs to be broken up. Not that hard, fallow ground, but a ground that is ready to receive the seed of the Word of God. We need to have a heart that's willing and that's ready to grow in Christ. If we're going to abide and remain in Jesus Christ to bear fruit and to grow, that means we're not in and out of church. That means we're not in and out of devotions. That means we're not in and out of the Christian life, right? Sometimes we treat it like a fast food mentality or like a meal mentality. Well, I need to go to church Sunday morning. I need to get my feeding for the week. Right? I need to go and, or I'll say my daily prayer or read a daily section of verses and then I'm good. No, that's not abiding. Instead, we need to abide in our daily relationship with Him. If we have the desire to bear fruit as a Christian, we need to understand as an individual, as a church, there will be a purging. There will be a pruning by the Heavenly Father. Now, I'll warn you right now, purging oftentimes is not pleasant. Oftentimes, it's not in our preferred timing, is it? Right? Things are going smooth. We're doing pretty good. Lord, now's not the time to mess that up. That's our mentality sometimes. But we need some trimming. We need some shaping, some chastisement in order to make us more available to Him. Make us more available to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Why? So we can bear the fruit that He wants us to bear. Purging, as defined by Webster, is to rid of impurity and unfriendly elements. I thought that was interesting wording when you think of abiding in Christ. You see, the Heavenly Father is concerned if there's anything keeping me from an abiding, a constant, a continual relationship with Him. If there's something coming in between that relationship, preventing me from growing closer to Him, God will purge it. Why? He needs to. Why? Because it's keeping us from being whom He wants us to be. I find it kind of interesting, out of all of the fruit trees and all of the different illustrations that Christ could have chosen, that He chose vines. Has anyone here ever had anything that's a vine that they've grown? Maybe it's grapes or flowers or something. Or maybe you've seen them. When we lived in upstate New York, something that was very popular was vineyards. I mean, you would drive and you'd see them everywhere. And there's something very interesting, an observation about vineyards. You see, the vine, man, it's taut. Right? It goes from stake to stake or post to post, and it's just there. It's you know where it is. You know which one it is, but there's something interesting about the branches. You know what that is? Branches, they're prone to wander. Branches are prone to just kind of go in whatever direction they seem to feel like. They'll go in an area that's just unproductive. They'll go in an area where they just ought not be because they can't produce fruit. They can't be used as they want to. I believe people are the same way, aren't we? I believe we're the same way. The vine, which is Christ, I mean, He's there. He's solid. He's unmovable. But us as branches, man, we wander. We get distracted pretty easily. We get pulled away and we go in directions that we just ought not be. Things in life that are just going to be unproductive for our hearts, our minds, our lives. That's why there's a need for a husbandman. That's why there's a need for the Heavenly Father. We have that need for the Heavenly Father to guide us, to direct us. Why? Because there's times we need pruning. We need purging. It's a vital part of the Christian life. We are commanded to abide during the times of purging, during the times of strain or difficulty. We're commanded to abide. Why? We want God's will for our life. This morning we're going to see three different elements of abiding during times of purging. The first is this. Purging signifies the providence of God. Purging signifies the providence of God. Look at chapter 15 and verse 1 again. It says, I am the true vine. Several weeks ago, we looked at that. We know that Christ, that God, is the true vine. The one, the only, not fake, not anything else other than the one and only. But the second part, it says, and my Father is the husbandman. God is the husbandman or the vine dresser. Why? Because He is sovereign. He has a plan and He is in control of our lives. He has all authority over the branches. A husbandman goes out to a vineyard and wants to trim and shape. You know, the branches can't say, oh no, don't do that. They have no control. The husbandman is in control of those things. He knows what's best. Just as our Father, our Heavenly Father, knows what's best for us. I want you to think about this. If there was a father and his young son, maybe his son's 2 or 3 years old, and he sees his son playing in the street, right? It's a busy street. What's that father going to do? He's going to go get him. Why? He's going to go get him. He's going to take him home. He's probably going to discipline him a little bit. Why? Because he needs to teach him. He needs to help his young child understand it's not safe. It's not where you play. It's not appropriate. See, that's the same as our Heavenly Father does to us, where He takes us by the hand, and maybe there's some chastisement there. Maybe there's some discomfort, but He does this for our own protection. He does this for our own good. You see, it brings us back to the place of abiding with Christ. Sometimes that means some chastening, some disciplining. Hebrews chapter 12 says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? This scripture tells us that there's going to be times where God's going to chase us. He's going to get hold of us. He's going to kind of grab us by the hand, or He's going to grab us maybe by the nape of the neck sometimes and get us where we need to be. Why? Because He loves us. He doesn't want His kids to get out of line. He wants His kids to go where they need to go. Now, at the same time, I think this is a perspective that's a false perspective that's gone through the church the last several decades. I think we see God instead of being a policeman sitting up in heaven with a billy club. Right? We see Him as a billy club, and when His kids get out of line, He comes out and just whacks them. Right? That's not God. That's not how He works. That's not who He is. No. He loves us. But because He loves us, sometimes He needs to chasten us. He needs to discipline us. Why? Because we get out of line. Right? If you have kids or you've had kids or you've ever been around kids, you know there's times they need discipline. They need to be brought back in the guardrails. They need to be brought back and pointed in the right direction. That's what the Father does with us. Why? To get us where we're supposed to be in the Christian life. He has authority over the branches. Look at verse 2 of chapter 15. It says, every branch in me that beareth forth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. Now this is something that people don't like to hear, but it's the truth of the Word of God. This first portion of verse where He says, every branch that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. He can take away the unfruitful branch. And this is a painful thing. This is referring to what we call the sin unto death. You say, Pastor, what's that? It's found in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. It says, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. You see, there's a possibility that a Christian person, a man or a woman, they can be resisting the Holy Spirit. They can be further and further away from the things of God. They can keep saying no to God and no to God and no to God and no to God time and time again. And maybe a friend or a loved one tries to pull them back in. Maybe a pastor goes and visits them, but every time they just keep pushing further and further and further away from the things of God. Now, this isn't, let me just say this first, this is not saying that they lose their salvation. That's not it. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Eternally, that's done, that's sealed, that's in God's hands. It's not something that, it's not underneath church discipline. That's not what this is referring to. What it is referring to is that sin unto death, where there's a child of God, and sometimes God chooses to take somebody home before their time. Why? Because they're hurting the testimony of the church. They're hindering the work that God has for the church to be done. You say, well, Pastor, that just seems very harsh. Well, listen, that's the truth of the Word of God. Now, do I believe that He does that often? I don't know. Don't come to me with a situation and say, do you believe that's what that is? That's simply an opinion. That's simply between that person and God. God makes those choices, not man. Not a church, not anyone else. But when He says that it is an unprofitable and unproductive branch, He'll take it away. He'll take it away. You say, is that a threat? No, that's the truth. And we need to stand fast. We need to focus on what we need to do. You see, here's the real reason. The heart behind that is for this. Why? That person, they're missing the very purpose for being a Christian. The very purpose of what they're supposed to do is to bear fruit and glorify God. And somewhere along the line, they've lost it. And God's given them opportunity and times and time and time again, and they've chosen to turn their back. Look at the second part of verse 2 in John 15. It says, in every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. Well, wait a second. I understand. If someone's not living for the Lord, I get it. God, go whack them. Right? We don't say that, but we think it. There's no difference. But that verse, it transitions to the second person, the second type, and that's the person that bears fruit, He purges. This is somebody who's in the Word of God. This is somebody who's obeying God's Word. They're serving in the church. They're active. They're doing what God wants them to do. But yet, He still prunes it. You say, if He's bearing fruit, He still prunes it? Yeah, He does. Why? Well, He can prune a fruitful branch. You see, we've got to come under this type of pruning. When we come under this type of pruning process, we have to understand something. We need to understand that God only prunes for your profit. So you will bear more fruit. We'll talk more about it in just a moment, but for an abiding Christian, God allows trial to draw us nearer to Him. He uses it so we can end up bearing more fruit. We talked about this a few weeks ago. There's three ways to get closer to Christ: through prayer, through being in His Word, and through trials. Trials are intended for the Christian life to bring us closer to Christ, to draw us nearer and nearer and nearer to Him. Why? So we'll bring forth more fruit, that we'll come out of it stronger, that we'll come out of it even more fervent than we went in it. We've got to understand that sometimes we've got to go through these things outside of our comfort zone. Never forget, in those times of purging, God is still in control. During those times where it might be painful and you just don't understand, say, God, I've tried to confess anything that I'm battling. I'm trying to just get it out of my life. Listen, He's still in control. He's got a purpose for it. He's got a reason behind it. We may not understand it when we're in the midst of the trial. Oftentimes we don't. But we have to understand. We've got to believe. We've got to stay focused on the fact that He is the husbandman. That He knows best for our lives, even during those times of purging. We might say, God, I don't like what I'm going through. It's uncomfortable. It's painful. But I acknowledge that You are God. And I'm going to let You be the husbandman. You're in control of my life. I'm going to let You just take it for all it is. Abiding and purging is signifying the providence of God. Number two, abiding and purging will increase the productivity of God and His people. The second part of verse 2, it says, "And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it." Now look at the last few words there, "that it may bring forth more fruit." You see, by renewing the object of our affection between us and God, God purges it out. There's something between us and the Lord, and He says, "It's going to be gone. I'm getting it out of your life." Why? So you can bear more fruit. So you can be even more productive. We can live the life that we've been called to live. We can live in a way that God originally ordained it to be. But He says some things got to go. There's some sin. There's some things in your life that they may not be that gross, negligent, horrible sin that we think of as humans, but it's something that's preventing us from being closer to Him. It's something that's preventing us from just being all that God wants us to be. We see in the Word of God that it's used to keep me disciplined to the vine. You see, this is designed to constantly point me back to Jesus. Point me back to the vine. Again, you think about that vineyard, and that vine is it's tauntly stretched, and it goes from post to post, and it's where it needs to be, but those branches are going everywhere. And that husbandman comes and he trims part of them off, and he redirects others, and he puts them where it's going to have the best light and where it can get the best water. And so that when that fruit comes, it's fruit that can be harvested and productive, but not be on the ground and not be dirty in the sin of life. If you've ever seen a productive vineyard, that vine, those branches must be tauntly held together. They must be formed and groomed together. Why? By keeping us disciplined to the vine, disciplined to cling to the vine. God intends in our lives that this process would bring forth more fruit. That the burdens, the pain, would bring forth more blessings. Romans 5 says this, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Who wrote Romans? Paul. Did he go through some hardships? Did he go through some trials and some pain and some angst? Absolutely he did. See, Paul was thankful. And he actually praised God during those times of tribulation. Can you do that? Can I do that? During those times where it's just painful. During those times where it's just hard sometimes even to get out of bed and go. Are we still praising the Lord? Are we still saying, "Thank you, God, for what you're doing? I don't know why you're doing it. I don't understand the reason behind it, other than the fact that I know it's going to bring me closer to you." Folks, that's abiding during the purging. Paul knew that God was working something in him. God was working something for him. When Paul understood that, when he came to that point, then he could say, "I am not ashamed." Can we say that as well? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I want to take a stand. I want to say this is who I am as a Christian. God was teaching him something there. He teaches us something there. Purging increases the productivity in life. The burden to come, but the blessing is right around the corner. Thirdly, this morning, purging facilitates the purification of God's people. Look at verse 3 of John 15. "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." These verses, Christ is speaking to His disciples. Christ is preparing them for things to come. Again, this is between the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane, and this time frame where Christ knew what was about to happen. He's preparing His disciples. Some of the last words that He gives them. Christ was very focused in this verse on them being clean, set apart, where they need to be in their spiritual walk. He first wanted to make sure they were clean as a group, that they were cleansed as a group of disciples. He's about to purge out somebody, isn't he? Remember the time frame. Remember the storyline. He had just told Judas Iscariot, basically, hey, you go do what you got to do, man. I know what's coming. He's purging out Judas Iscariot, somebody who he had served with for 3 years, someone that they all knew quite well. That might be somebody today who's a Sunday school teacher. It might be someone today sitting here that's serving and working and doing, but you know what the problem is with Judas Iscariot? You know what the problem is with some of us here today? We've never fully accepted Christ. We've never accepted Him as Lord and Savior. We've never committed to Him as we need to. Now, salvation isn't a process. Sanctification is, but salvation is not. But Judas Iscariot spent 3 years with Jesus unsaved. Folks, there's people, and I've met them, that have gone to church for decades, and they never personally accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. Jesus was purging, cleansing that group. Then he says, it moves on, it says he cleansed individually by the word. He's teaching them. He's been preaching to them. He's been helping them. God's concerned, folks, with their spiritual purity. He's concerned with our spiritual purity. Why? Because he knows, and we know, that if there's sin in our lives, it's going to keep us from being where we need to be with him. It's going to keep us from growing in Christ and abiding relationship with him to produce the most fruit we possibly can in the Christian life. You see, God wants us to be sanctified in our living. He wants us to be sanctified from sin. He wants us in the Word and get cleansed by the Word. Why? We're the media. We're the tools that He uses from which He will bear His fruit. Sometimes there's bitterness in the fruit. Why? Because there's sin in the life of a believer. Because there's something that's keeping them from being where they need to be. His word is a cleansing agent. It has purging power. Hebrews chapter 4 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, quickly dividing, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the thoughts and intents." Folks, it's the word of God is quick to come in and cut out the things of our life that are impure. That's why when we're not where He wants us to be, that's why when we're not living the life God wants us to be, it's hard to read His Word. If we've got something going on, maybe it's sin, or maybe it's a distraction, maybe it's just pulling us away. If you're finding it's hard to read God's Word, folks, there's probably a reason there. There's probably something in your heart, in your life, in what's going on that it needs to cut out. Be receptive to it. Be responsive to it. Don't stop reading. Read it more. Go deeper. Pray more and say, God, if there's something there, I want it cleansed. I want it purged. I want it cut out of my life. Why? Because I want to bear more fruit for you. Purification facilitates a purification of God's people. Sometimes purging hurts, though, doesn't it? That cutting away can be painful. Sometimes we feel like it's more than we can bear. Just remember, He has a plan for it. He has a purpose behind it. You might have some trial in life right now, or maybe you're in the midst of some kind of trial. Maybe you've been running from God. Maybe you've been avoiding Him. Maybe right now you're in your time of purging. I want to encourage you this morning, turn back to Him. Just like the prodigal son, his arms, the prodigal father, the arms was wide open, ready to receive his child. The same are the arms of Christ. The difference is his are nail scarred because he loved us so much. Maybe you've been in the midst of a trial and you just don't understand. You say, Lord, I don't believe there's any sin there. If there is, just show me. I just don't understand. Maybe you're in that time where God just, He's preparing for something. It may not be a sin thing. It may not be anything along those lines. You're bearing fruit, but He's going to purge you. I want to encourage you this morning. Just as the branch bends to the hand of the husbandman, bend to the hand of God. If He's trying to direct you a certain way, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's painful, go where He wants you to go. Do what He wants you to do. It may be outside of your comfort zone. It may be uncomfortable. It might be painful. It might seem excruciating. Listen, we can fight it all we want. Who do you think is going to get the victory in that? It's going to be God. The amount of pain depends on your willingness to bend, your willingness to go where He wants you to go, your willingness to follow His direction. Cling to the vine, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial of your faith. We go through the trial. The one thing we can guarantee, the one thing that God promises from His Word, is when we come in the out of the other end, if we're staying faithful, if we're staying true, if we're staying focused, we're going to come out better for it. We're going to be able to produce more fruit for the kingdom. The trial might be painful. The purging might hurt, but God's got His purpose. Let the trying of your faith, let the patience have that perfect work in us that James talks about. The most important thing I want to challenge you this morning is this. Abide during your time of purging. You say, Pastor, it hurts. I know. You say, Pastor, I just don't get it. I know. Don't jump off. Don't run away. Let patience have that perfect work. Stay right there. Stay focused. Stay centered. Stay in the Word of God. Why? God is never able to complete His work in us when we turn away from Him. When we turn back to the world and the things of the world, or we turn back to the things that are just more comfortable, God can't work the plan out that He's got for you if you're not there to work it. Stay faithful. Stay focused. Stay clinging to the vine of Jesus Christ. Let His work get completely done in you. Abide during that time of purging. James 1 says, blessed is a man that endureth temptation. He's saying happy is the one that just stays in his trial, that just stays right where God wants him to be. Thank God for what He has done. I've visited different orchards before. Some of you know this, but when we lived in New York, the boys worked at an apple orchard, and they had apples, and they had cherries, and they had peaches. And the owner's son, who was well into his 50s, and I remember one day, now this was in the fall, and in the fall, things are dormant. And oftentimes, that's when they would prune the fruit trees. Now, I've done some pruning, and when I do pruning, I just kind of do it real light. Right? It's like you go in the barber and just say, hey, just take a little off the sides. Like that. When I prune, that's kind of how I do it. Well, one day, and we would go over sometimes with the boys and just work because we just enjoyed being on the farm, which is a fun place for us to be. And one day he said, hey, can you go and pick up the prunings? I said, sure, why not? You know, we go down and I look at some of the trees and man, he took the chainsaw and just like hacked them apart. Right? I mean, it was a hard pruning. Instead of going in the barber and getting that light trim, man, it was like you went in and you're just skinned them, right? It's just gone. And I said, you really did it? Like these trees, they were fruitful. We had just helped pick and I mean, they were loaded with apples. He said, yeah. He said, you gotta do that. He said, you gotta do that from time to time. Even the trees that are bearing the most fruit, you still gotta trim. You gotta prune them hard from time to time. He said, in one or two seasons, he said, they'll come back and even have more fruit. I thought, you're crazy. Because I'll be honest, this dude, some things he said were just crazy. All right? It's just the truth. But you know what? He was right. Give it a season, two seasons. Those trees came back strong. and vibrant. They needed that pruning. They needed that cleansing. There were so many little buds everywhere that the tree, the sap, the water was trying to go, and it wasn't producing the quality of fruit that it could have. Just the same, he had some peach trees, and there was this one tree, and it just wasn't producing at all. And he took it and he cut it down to a nub. I mean, it wasn't more than probably 3 feet off the ground. There was almost nothing there to it. I'm like, dude, you just killed it. He said, that wasn't producing fruit. Well, my mind, now again, I'm not the greatest farmer in the world. I'm like, well, just rip it out and plant a new one. He says, no. And he said these words. It still has life. It's not being productive, but it still has life. He said, it'll take a few years for it to regrow, but when it does, it's going to be good. I'm like, this is another one of those crazy moments. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He just destroyed it. And now it, not only is it unproductive, but now you can't even use this area for anything. He said, no, it still had life. 3 years later, that peach tree was producing some of the most delicious peaches you've ever tasted in your life. It needed that hard prune. It needed that, just take it all away and kind of let it regroup. Let it restart again. Folks, when God's pruning our life, sometimes that's what He's doing to us. Sometimes we don't understand the pain. We don't understand the trial. We don't understand what's going on. Some of you right now might feel like you're being pruned a little too hard by the husbandman. You feel like that little stick just kind of just barely sticking out of the ground. Maybe God's chasing you. Maybe you've been running. I don't know. But according to the Word of God, according to His promises, you might be right around the corner from the greatest days of blessing and productivity from God that you've ever known. Why go through the trial? So we might bring forth more fruit. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't, oh, I beg you, don't turn your back on the husbandman, just because it's a little painful, just because it's uncomfortable, just because it's hard. Why? He's in control. And He has your best interest at heart. It's not a selfish motivation from God ever. He has a purpose. But we have to abide in Him. We've got to cling to the vine. If you're faithful, you'll bear more fruit for His glory. One of the biggest problems in the church in America today is as soon as things get uncomfortable, as soon as things get a little painful, they're out. They're gone. They turn their back on God and say, God, I don't know why You do this. I was doing everything You wanted me to do. But they run. I talked to our men's group Friday morning for a few minutes about this. And I said, what do you think is one of the reasons why people turn, why people leave the church? And I don't just mean our church. I mean the church as a whole in droves. You know what it is? They don't have an abiding relationship with Christ. They're not in the Word of God. They're not where God wants them to be. And as soon as things get difficult, as soon as God's wanting to do something, they turn. They run. They leave. Folks, how's your relationship with Christ this morning? Where's your walk with Him? Maybe it's during a time of difficulty, trial, or pain. Listen, God's got something for you right around the corner. Draw closer to Him. Bend at His touch. Why? We'll bear more fruit for it for Him. Father in heaven, thank You so much for the time You've given. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity of being here this morning. Father, I pray now that You would just be with us. There's so much in life that happens and it's going on. And oftentimes, Lord, it's painful. It hurts. Lord, I pray that during those times, you would show forth yourself to each and every one of us. Lord, make it apparent of who you are to us and what you're doing. But Lord, above all, give us the desire, the passion to abide, to stay the course, to cling to you, to bend at your touch. Lord, bring us closer to you each and every day.